what in my mind is probably one of the most powerful lines in all of the Siddur is the line that we just were zocha to say in Nachem, Ki ata Hashem ba'esh itzata, v'esh ata asid livnosa. Such an incredible, incredible line based on the Pasuk in Eicha that we read last night in Perek Dalet. Pasuk in Eicha describes that Hashem destroyed. Kila Hashem es chamaso, shafach aron apo. He poured out his wrath, he did not on us, but on the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'yotzes esh b'tzion. And he ignited, he kindled a fire in the Beis HaMikdash. So Hashem is the one who lit the fire. He thought it was Nebuchadnezzar, Aspasianus, Titus. No, it wasn't the Roman legionaries, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who lit that fire. And at the same time, we look forward very speedily for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rebuild that Beis HaMikdash out of fire. Now, Nachem, that we just said, is actually a little bit peculiar because Nachem ought to be the equivalent of Yalav Yavo. Yalav Yavo is to Rosh Chodesh what Nachem should be to a Tainus, or at least Tainus of Tisha B'Av. But we know that we only say it at Mincha. So this, in fact, is Machlokas. The Avudraham, in his commentary on the Siddur, quotes Rav Amram Gon, who says that Nachem should be Shachris, Arvis, last night, Shachris this morning, Mincha, and Mincha and Marv, all three tefillos. And he brings Yerushalmi. Let me rephrase that. The Rosh says, Kol Yomai Tamati, Lama Nagu She'edom Rim Nachem Ela B'tefillos Mincha. Then Rosh asks, how can we only say that Mincha? Nachem is, as Yerushalmi says that on Tisha B'Av, a person has to be Mazkir Me'ein HaMa'ora. That same phrase, that you have to be Mazkir Me'ein HaMa'ora, is the same way that Yalav Yavu is Me'ein HaMa'ora. And presumably, when the Yerushalmi says that Tisha B'Av needs Me'ein HaMa'ora, it should be no different than any other Me'ein HaMa'ora. And just like Yalav Yavu, you have three Yalav Yavas on Rosh Chodesh and on Purim. So, I'm sorry, and Al-Nisim is on Purim in all the tefillos, and Yalav Yavu is in all the tefillos of Rosh Chodesh, and Al-Nisim is also in all the tefillos of Chanukah. So why should that be any different when it comes to Tisha B'Av? Nevertheless, that's not our minhag. Nevertheless, the Rosh, after he asks this question, he says, Kfar Poshat HaMinhag, Kedivri Reb Sadia Gaon, who says that you only say it at Mincha. Why? I'm not going to talk about now, but presumably because there's an added element of Nechama specifically at Mincha, which we've spoken about in previous years. What I'd like to speak about is the accuracy, the veracity of that tefillah, those words that we just dropped from our lips. Is it really true that Ata Asid Livnosa out of Eish? This, of course, is a raging, raging, raging machlokas rishonim. Who's going to build the third Beis HaMikdash? That's what I want to speak about for a few minutes. And you have seemingly Rashi, Tosas, the Ritva, all discussing in one camp, all discussing this Sugyan Gemara Sukkah, where it talks about Yom HaNeif, which we don't have to go into, and various takanos, which we don't have to go into. But the point of the discussion, that Gemara in Sukkah says that it seems from the Gemara that the Beis HaMikdash has the potential possibility of being built on Yontif. And Rashi, Tosis, the Ritva, all the Rishonim ask, how could it be that there's a possibility that Meher Yibane HaBeis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash could possibly, theoretically, ever be built on a Yontif? After all, we know that Ein Beis HaMikdash, Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Doch Yontif. Right, the Pasuk says, Es Mikdashi Tishmoru? Tirov Es Shabsosai Tishmoru. And we know clearly that Binyan Beis HaMikdash is not Docha Shabbos, is not Docha Yontif. So you're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. You're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash on Yontif. So how, asks Rashi, could the Gemara be assuming that you do, there's going to be Binyan Beis HaMikdash, at least the possibility of Binyan Beis HaMikdash on Yontif? To which Rashi answers that rule is true only by a binyan, by the Beis HaMikdash, that's Bani Bidei Adam. Beis HaMikdash that we build with our hands, that of course can only be built on a weekday, not on Shabbos, not on a Yontif. Aval, I'm telling you the words of Rashi that all the Rishonim follow suit with. Aval Mikdash HaAsid, She'anu Mitzapim, that we anticipate, Bonoi U'meshuchlal Hu Yigla, V'yavo min hashamayim. It's going to go, it's going to come down completely built, completely mishuchlal. It's the word for modern-day word for renovations. It's going to be completely ready to use, straight down from shamayim, shenemra, like the pasuk that we say in Az Yashir, Mikdash Hashem konenu yadecha. The hands of Hashem will build the Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi's opinion clearly is that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it could possibly be built on Shabbos, be built on Yontif, I mean. If it were to be built by us, there wouldn't be the possibility of it happening on Yontif, as the Gemara indicates. And therefore, all the Rishonim, Rashi tells the Ritva and many others, assume that the Beis HaMikdash Hashli is going to be built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what we just said in davening, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send it down as a binyan of Eish, min HaShemayim, ready to go. The problem is that if you open up a Rambam at the very, 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 very end of the Rambam, in Melachim, the very end of Melachim, Perek La Yud Aleph, which is the second to last Perek in the entire Yad HaChazakah, he introduces us to a personality whom we await, introduces us to Mashiach. And he defines who Mashiach is in two places, one right after, shortly after the other. Hamelech HaMashiach, Asid Lamod, Ulahachzir Malchus David Lyoshna, Lememshela Harishona, Uvone HaMikdash. And Melech HaMashiach is going to build the Beis HaMikdash. I don't think he has to do with his bare hands, but he will lead the troops. He'll be the chief architect, he'll be the chief contractor, if you will, of the Beis HaMikdash. Later on, a few halachas later, the Rambam defines how do we know if somebody really is Mashiach, if he's Bechezkas Mashiach, if he's truly Mashiach. So says the Rambam, Yamod Melech mi Beis David, Hogabat Torah, somebody who learns Torah, and is Osik B'mitzos, like David, his ancestor, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh, and he encourages all of Klal Yisrael to be Shomri Torah and Mitzos, and he's Lochei Muhammad Hashem. Then he passed the first cut. He's Bechezkas Mashiach. He's not Mashiach, he's Bechezkas Mashiach. If he does that, V'hitzliach, and in addition to that, V'notzach kol ha'umas shesvivav, he defeats all the armies surrounding Klal Yisrael, U'bona Mikdash b'mekomo, V'kibetz nitcha Yisrael, hareza Mashiach v'adai. If he successfully builds the Beis HaMikdash, then we know that he's in the right place. Like, you can't just build one in Uganda and say, I'm Mashiach. But if he builds the Beis HaMikdash and it's makom properly, then we know for certain that's Melech HaMashiach. So clearly, from the Rambam, both indications of the Rambam say that Mashiach, a human person, along with us helping him, a person, a melech, who's going to be a person of flesh and blood, is going to take bricks and mortar and cement and concrete and wood and nails and screws and build up a Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, we have a gigantic machlokas about something very fundamental. Then on one hand, you'd say is almost foundational to our belief of what we're believing and we're waiting for the third Beis HaMikdash. But of course, the Rambam in the same parak, in the next parak, actually says that's not the foundation of our belief. We don't believe, our belief is not an eschatological system that we all are focused on what's going to happen, lost in love. But whatever happens will happen, as the Rambam says. So whether Rashi is going to be right, the Rambam is going to be right, we'll let it happen and see. We don't have to argue about it now. But the Aruch Laner on that Gemara in Sukkah says, I really, really, really can't bear Rashi's, Tosos's, the Ritva's approach that a Beis HaMikdash is going to fall down from Shemayim. Not because I can't believe it, but every tefillah that we have is about Binyan Beis HaMikdash, not Gilui Beis HaMikdash. Asks the Aruch Laner. Says the Aruch Laner, from the fact that the Gemara says, Mehera Yibone HaMikdash, that means that the Beis HaMikdash has to be built. According to Rashi, it's not going to be built, it's going to appear. We say in davening after Shemona Esrei three times a day, it's also a Mishnah, She Yibone Beis HaMikdash. Elsewhere in Shas, it also says, De'ivni, that Gemara in Sukkah says it's going to be built at a certain time. So therefore, the Aruch Laner says it can't be, Rashi can't be right. And Tosus and the Ritva can't be right that it's just going to fall down from Shemayim because all the texts of Chazal clearly indicate that there's going to be a binyan happening and not just a gilui happening. If Rashi were to be right, there's going to plop down from Shemayim. It's not a binyan, that's a gilui. it's up in Shemayim, it's going to be nisgala to us. And therefore, the Aruch Haner says Rashi can't work. But I want to share with you an incredible, beautiful answer of the Aruch Haner, how he puts together the two shitas of Rashi and the Rambam, the two shitas of, on one hand, having a Beis Hamikdash come down from Shemayim, and on the other hand, having a Melech HaMashiach who's going to build it with his hands, with our hands. Beautiful, beautiful machshava. Says Aruch Haner, both are right, and I'll tell you why. When the Beis Hamikdash was built, there was a fire on the Mizbeach. Where'd that fire come from? Right, so of course you have to light it. So possibly it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to light a light. Eish tamid dekadol mizbeach l'sichber, right? Of course you have to light it. At the same time, we know that an eish came down from Shemayim. So there are two fires on the Mizbeach. You had the fire ha-gashmi that we lit, and then you had a fire ha-shamayim, a spiritual fire that came down from Shemayim to demonstrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is there. And therefore, says the Aruch Haner in the same exact way, there are going to have to be two batei mikdash. There's going to have to be a physical Beis HaMikdash, and there's going to have to be a spiritual Beis HaMikdash. And a physical Beis HaMikdash without its spiritual counterpart is meaningless, it's a shell, it's empty. A spiritual Beis HaMikdash without a physical body with which to enter is also meaningless. It's an neshama without a guf. That's called dead. Right? Human being dies, the guf is gone, the neshama is still there. But there's nothing there, he's dead. Says the Aruch Haner, the exact same concept of a human body with a human neshama together create a person is what the Beis HaMikdash is to be. And therefore, says the Aruch Haner, we're going to build a Beis HaMikdash with our hands, but that's going to be nothing more than a shell, an empty shell. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on top of that shell that we build with our hands, Mashiach will lead us in building that Beis HaMikdash with our hands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to drop down from Shemayim and Beis HaMikdash Shel Eish to be the neshama of that shell that we built with our hands. You're asking a kasha on Rashi. Let's think about this. According to Rashi, Rashi's talking about the Meheri Bana Mikdash. He's talking about the second stage. Maybe
he's answering a kasha in the Gemara. How can
right.
Have binyan on Shabbos?
Right. So I'm answering that maybe the binyan will happen that we will do could be with Machon HaMikdash. It's waiting for us, and we're just waiting for the second step. We're waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to inject the neshama into it. Yeah, I don't like getting political, but Lilma Danachnu Tzrichim, right? So this, I think, is an incredible, beautiful answer that the Aruch Haner tells us that we really have, Rashi's right, the Rambam's right, we're going to build the Beis HaMikdash, the Mikdash is going to plop down from Shemayim, both are true, simultaneously, we're going to build the Guf of the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to drop down min HaShemayim, that Eish, that same Eish that he sent down, just like he sent down that Eish to be the spiritual age to accompany the age tamid to kadal mizbeach lo sichbe that we are going to ignite on the mizbeach. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to drop down that Beis HaMikdash shel Eish into the shell that we prepare, that we build in anticipation. Well, maybe the answer to the question could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will drop down his Beis HaMikdash first, that spiritual, amorphous spiritual Beis HaMikdash made out of fire, and then afterwards we'll just build it around it. It's like a make it easier for us. We don't have to figure out how to do all the dimensions. There's a spiritual Beis HaMikdash there. We just put the bricks around it. Make it a little easier also. And Hashem will do that on Yontif. And after Yontif, we'll come with the bricks and put everything around it. That could also be an answer. So that's one machshav I wanted to share with you about the third Beis HaMikdash, about the fire of the third Beis HaMikdash. I want to finish with just one other thought, related but not related. I want to share with you a Gemara Bava Kama that talks about the third Beis HaMikdash, about what we just spoke about, this fire that will be the Binyan HaMikdash. Gemara has a very unusual presentation of, we don't have to go through the beginning of the Gemara, but the Gemara says, Rav Yitzchak Nachla says, without getting into the details of why he says this, he says, I want to share with you, I'll tell you the beginning of this. Yeah, we'll have time. So the Gemara tells the story of two Amoraim, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, and son of Rav Yitzchak Nachla. And they each are begging their Rebbe to share with them a Torah thought. One of them says, please tell us a halacha. And the other one says, I can't handle halacha. Tell me a nice machshava. Tell me some nice agadita. And so he starts telling, Yisro Nachatar starts sharing an agadita, and the other Amora says, no, 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 I don't want agadita. I want real halacha. And he starts telling agadita, and the other Amora says, I can't handle halacha. Tell me agadita, or whatever, vice versa. And Rav Yitzchak Nafcha says, you know what this is like? This is like a guy who gets married, is married to two wives, and he has a young wife, and he has an old wife, and his young wife says, oh, you look too old, starts pulling out all of his white hairs. And his older wife says, oh, you look too young, you have to look more mature and more stately, and pulls out all of his black hairs. And therefore, his nimtza, this is the source of the lashon that we use, kereach mikan ve kereach mikan, absolutely bald, which is also beautiful. But, nevertheless, kereach mikan ve kereach mikan. So the Gemara says, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha concludes, you know what, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you something, I'll dash in a pasuk for you that will have both agada as well as halacha. And this is the pasuk that he dashens. Kiseitze esh umatz'a kotzim. The Torah, I think in Parshas Mishpatim, says if a fire goes out and catches fire to some brush, some thorn bushes, and the pasuk concludes, the person who lit the fire has to pay, right? We know it's one of the Arba Avos Nezikin, esh. And he darshans two drushes, first one in halacha and one in agada. First in agada, kiseitze esh, the words teitze esh, who lit it? The Torah doesn't say it, anyone lit it, just says teitze esh, esh goes out. Sounds like esh me'atzma yatza. Sounds like it just went out by itself. Nevertheless, the end of the pasuk says, shalem yishalem, who? Hamavir is habeira, the one who ignited it. So it sounds as though the beginning of the pasuk says that nobody lit it. It just sort of sprouted, right? Sometimes fires just start. I don't know, there's just a short circuit or something. And then the end of the puzzle says the one who lit it is responsible, has to pay. How do you have this? If nobody lit it, so how come somebody have to be responsible because he lit it? But nobody lit it. It's a steer in the pasuk. He gives two answers, one alpi halacha, one alpi agadita. The one alpi agadita says, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, the following, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I lit the Beis HaMikdash on fire. Ani hitzisi esh b'tzion, as the pasuk says in Eicha, as we opened up with a few minutes ago. Vayotzes esh b'tzion, as the pasuk in Eicha says, since I ignited the fire, therefore ani asid levnosa b'esh, I have to rebuild it. In other words, what that really means is that who really caused the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed? HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No, it's us. We bear responsibility for destroying the Beis HaMikdash, for igniting it, for lighting it on fire. And who's going to bear the responsibility to rebuild it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's very nice. It's a good deal. You light the fire and he rebuilds it because he assumes, accepts responsibility for having destroyed it. That's one drasha that he says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to take the responsibility of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash that we burnt down with our hands. And then he says, that was in Agadita. I'll have another answer to how the pasuk begins with Teitze Esh just by itself and concludes that the person who lit it has to pay. The halacha way of understanding this pasuk is talking about something where there's a difference if I damage something with my own yadayim or if my shor damages something. If my shor damages something, I have to pay for the damages. But if I damage something, if my shor puts his hoof through a car window, so he only has to pay nezek. But if I put my fist through a car window, what do I have to pay? What do I have to pay if I put my fist through a car window? I'm sorry, I got confused. If my shor hits a person, he only has to pay nezek. Thank you. That's why you're all quiet. You're only a step ahead of me. Baruch Hashem. If a shor hits a person, the shor has to pay nezek. If I put my fist into a person, I have to pay nezek, tzar, ripui, shavas, boshas. So there's a difference between nizkei mamon and nizkei gufo. So says Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, you know what this pasuk is telling you? Kiseitze esh. It wasn't really your fault. It sort of happened. You just let it, a fire was lit, and it sort of traveled by itself. You know how we view it? Isha mishum. One way is to say mamon, or no, the pasuk sounds isha mishum chitzav, that if a person, if you cause it to light, but it sort of spreads by itself, we hold you responsible as though you did it with your own body and your chayav, dalet dvar, mechayav, nezet sar, ripu, shavas, boshas. except for one of them, I forgot which. Boshas, I think, in Achayafor. So therefore you see that this pasuk is talking about a fire went out, and yet you, the lighter, the igniter of the fire, even though you didn't make the fire go to that place, you're still held responsible. That's the Gemara. Gemara ends. So he said a machshava about Hashem taking responsibility to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and he said a halacha about Isha Mishamchitza, and it's both from the same pasuk. He satisfied both of his students, one who wanted Agadata and one who wanted halacha. I want to finish with a beautiful insight that the Chasam Sofer suggests to say how these two ideas are really one. The machshava, the halacha and the machshava, that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu assumes responsibility to rebuild our Beis HaMikdash that we destroyed, as well as the halacha of Isha Mishamchitza, is really one halacha, says the Chasam Sofer. You know why we destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? Whose fault is it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Yetzer Hara. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fault, says the Chasam Sofer. He gave us a Yetzer Hara. And what happened with that Yetzer Hara? Well, little children do what little children do. You give them a fire and they go do terrible things with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted a little kernel, a little spark of Yetzer Hara with it, and we went and ran amok and did all kinds of terrible averas, and we destroyed a Beis HaMikdash. Whose fault is it? Isha Mishamchitzav, whose fault is it? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fault. He has to bear responsibility for that first element, that first step, that first stage of putting that Yetzirah, putting that fire of the Yetzirah into our neshamas, into our bodies. And therefore, who's going to bear responsibility? Who's going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's job. He destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, not us. We were just carrying that Yetzirah that he put within us. And therefore, that same fire that he implanted within us is going to be that which he will bear responsibility for, and he will therefore rebuild the Beis HaMikdash very speedily to atone, kivyachol, for that yitzhar that he planted within us. And we daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the zechus to not fall prey to that yitzhara, to not have to wait long for that binyan of Eish, that binyan Hayadayim. We should be zochet to fulfill the Rambam, we should be zochet to fulfill the Rashi speedily with a binyan based by a shlishi, b'mheir v'yameinu, amen.